Blog Talk Radio.
Mathis, where the theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, and unedited objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Callie Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
All right, Big Tex, what's up?
What's going on, y'all? Get into it.
Shot-Town Mike, what's up?
What's going on, everybody? And must I say, I had to say this earlier, it was on my mind. Clauzel was right, man. Guys know what I'm talking about. Clauzel was right. On the first show, he said that the Pacific team, he was the only one who got it right about it. And I guess we're going to know what team we're talking about when the show gets started. You all know what I'm talking about, too.
We will be here for the next 2 hours. If you want to call in, call us at 347-237-5539. Obviously, our first and foremost, we start with our college football analysis. So last week was interesting. Notre Dame, they beat USC on the road. So Notre Dame now is in the national championship game. I want to know, what's your opinion on Notre Dame being in the national championship game? Do you think they'll win? Do you think they deserve it? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
They won all of their games. It's too bad you don't have many undefeated teams this year than you'd have. It would kind of be interesting to see who exactly would make the national title game if perhaps somebody like Oregon or Alabama goes undefeated or Kansas State. Then that would be interesting to see who went where. But they won all the games. I guess under the current system, you get to go to the national championship game if you play a quote-unquote tough schedule. Although I don't know where Notre Dame's schedule was tough, but you win all your games. You're Notre Dame. Ashes in seats. Notre Dame brings ratings, so they're going to be in the BCS title game. I still think they get whipped by Alabama, but, it is what it is. Everybody will be rooting for Notre Dame, so that's fine.
All right. Callie Mike, man, what's your opinion on that?
First and foremost, I'd like to notify everybody that today is a national holiday, also known as my birthday. 30 years ago today, the sun started shining, and it ain't stopped since, so. Give a shout-out to my parents. Thank you guys so much. And to God, thank you so much. I got to give Notre Dame their props, man. they scheduled the teams, you know, that was unranked in the preseason, and they fought their way back. I mean, you know, that's tough to do for any team to start unranked and, you know, end up number one in the country. You know, especially with the way these preseason rankings are. They passed up a lot of other good teams. You know, they beat a lot of teams. There were quality teams. I mean, I can't take nothing away from them. They did what they had to do, and they deserve to be there. You know, they're a good team. And the thing is, you know, they got a young quarterback, a new coach. You know, they're going to have a couple of players leaving this year, Manny Te'o and a couple other guys. But, you know, like I said, they're a fairly young team, too. So, you know, this could be the reemergence of Notre Dame we're looking at.
All right. Shottown, what's your opinion?
It's kind of one of those things. Ohio State will be Notre Dame. And Ohio State's undefeated. And it's a shame that they can't be in the BCS this year for being ineligible. But, I mean, I agree with Tex got to say. I agree with Kelly Mike got to say. I can't wait till our favorite card, Mr. Tony Wiley, shines in about this. But, yeah, I mean, they schedule. They schedule wasn't as tough, and they struggled. It was some games they could have lost, but, they ran the table. They went undefeated, and being independent, you know, they do what they do. They automatic bid for a BCS bowl. Like Tex said, everybody loves Notre Dame, you know, pretty much, you know, the media and when I guess in college football, when Notre Dame does well, you know, it's good for college football and ratings because it's Notre Dame. But, you know, I think whoever they play, I give them some respect, but I wouldn't be surprised, too, if they get blown out, if it's Alabama or someone else. And I guess, too, we can't sleep on Georgia. We'll see what Georgia does in the SEC championship. We all say Alabama might be in it, but, you know, they got to take care of business against Georgia first.
Yes, they do. And, you know, I've noticed ever since Notre Dame, like I was at a bar watching the game, and it's just I've noticed this sort of this love-hate relationship with Notre Dame. You either love them or you hate them. And I'm trying to understand why is that, you know. Like, I'm at a bar, and I'm noticing half the people like Notre Dame, half the other people don't like Notre Dame. What is driving this hate for Notre Dame? You know, everybody wants to see them fail. I don't understand that. What's driving that, do you think?
Well, Notre Dame, you gotta look at the history of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, no matter what anybody says about them now, they're a traditional power. You know, they were, you know, and they play an independent schedule, which means, they were known to come into, you know, to your school and mutt your team. So there's a lot of, you know, deep-seated resentment against them. You know, and the other side, you know, the way the media portrays them, you know, Notre Dame, you know, they're a Catholic school, they're a private school, they're always going to be the good guys. You know, they're always going to be, you know, the Joe Montana. You know, everybody, you know, they're the Golden Domers, you know, they're always going to be kind of the good guys. So whoever goes against them, it's going to be kind of painted as the bad guy, you know, no matter what the matchup is. So, you know, and that's just the way, you know, that's just the way they get portrayed in the media. But, you know, like I said, if you look at them, you know, they're pretty much like, you know, they're like the Yankees of, you know, of college football, you know. People love them.
No.
Huh?
You think they're like the Yankees? I don't know, like Tex, James Bell. I mean, and Whiteley, they have resentment for Notre Dame. But I'm just trying to understand, like, Tech, for example, what is your resentment of Notre Dame? Like, what about them just makes you mad?
It's just, and I'm a Miami fan, that's well known. So, you know, I don't like this. And you know, this good old boy thing is, you know, this good old Catholic boy crap. We don't do no wrong. We're squeaky clean. You know what I'm saying? We're upstanding citizens. Nothing happens. Man, get out of here with that. And then try to look down on everybody else. I mean, come on, man.
So you're basically saying they're a bunch of frauds at Notre Dame, basically.
But now everybody's a Notre Dame fan, and I don't have any love for them, you know, and it's always, it's called hating, and it's like, you know, why are people taking it that serious? You have to be somebody to be hated on. You understand what I'm saying? It's like how when we do something, if we come along and we wear our clothes a certain way, and then everybody, it's not cool, but until everybody else start doing it, it's like, it's cool. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And now Notre Dame, they about to get one title. They about to have a big year. And my attitude is like, man, have two big years out of three, or three out of four, and then we can talk about you being back. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. I mean, do you think the animosity is on a racial line?
Probably it could be. It could be,
like,
but
I know
that,
you know,
it could come up like that. But Notre Dame got as much, maybe more black players than many other teams in the country. You know, the last national championship came with Tony Rice at quarterback. So, you know, like I said, it could be said that, but there's schools in the SEC that ain't had a black quarterback and don't have black quarterbacks and ain't gonna have one. So,
yeah, but the majority, like, for example, Alabama and Georgia, the quarterbacks are white on the team, but you can clearly see they got black players all over the place. Whereas Notre Dame, the quarterback's black, but you tend to see white guys on their team. You see white guys noticeable on Notre Dame's team, either the defensive line or the wide receivers or something like that. So maybe
you had Jeff Samardzija, you know, he was a white receiver, but he was good. You know, but like I say, you know, you look at a school like Georgia, you know, like I said, pretty much any school in the South, they get a kid of a Caucasian kid, and he's good. They're gonna make him into a superstar. You know, look at Johnny Football right now. You know, look at AJ McCarron. You know, I mean, there, you know, like I said, there's got, you know, you can't really look at it like that. No, you know, I can't put it on a race. I mean, it can come off as perceived like that, like I say, because of what Notre Dame stands for, but it's really not. Like I say, Notre Dame, you look at their players, you know, guys like Jerome Bettis, you know, guys like I said, they got black players. You know, it doesn't need to really, you know, go to. I mean, they got a black quarterback right now, you know. So I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't need to, you know, really go to that kind of level. I mean, it, you know, like I said, I could look at other schools and say that more than Notre Dame.
But you ought to hear Notre Dame fans. I mean, and I'm just talking as a Miami fan, what I've heard. I mean, you ought to hear Notre Dame fans talking about Miami. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we the good Catholics, and then Miami are the convicts and the criminals. And I'm like, man, tell me how many players play for University of Miami sitting in a damn jail right now. You know? Don't handle me like that, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't play that angle. So, and you know that crap is racial.
No, it could come off like that, but like I say, you look at Notre Dame racially and historically, and look at Miami. Just now, oh boy, Ja'Cory Harris was Miami's first black starting quarterback, right? And you know, they didn't been around for, you know, just as long as Notre Dame. Notre Dame didn't have plenty of black starting quarterbacks, even in the past couple of years. You know, this cat, like I say, since Tony Rice, and had Carlisle Holiday,
Kevin McDougal, he was another quarterback after, I think he was after Rick Meyer. Meyer, after Ron Paulus. After Ron Paulus left, I think he was. Either Paulus or Meyer.
It's just there's an air of arrogance with Notre Dame. But like I say, the company's winning. You know, like I said at the beginning of the season, and Clausel, you got on me about this. I said Notre Dame is a power. No matter what, they're a power. They can recruit nationally. They can get pretty much whoever they want. And no matter what their record is, remember when I said that, Clausel? And you jumped on me about it? I told you, I said they're a power. They're one of the few schools who can go out, no matter what their record is, and say we have a chance of getting the top recruit in the country every year.
And they got Clausel.
Yeah. I said they need to get a B-side player. I said they need to get a good, squeaky, clean B-side player. That's what I said.
You said they weren't a power. Remember, we were talking about football powers.
They're not a power. I said they weren't a power because they didn't want to get the B-side player.
Yeah, you said they're
a power.
And remember, I said that there are a couple of schools. You know, I said you got schools like Miami, you know, USC, Notre Dame, who can recruit all over the country, no matter what their record is. They're going to get top recruits, and they're going to put players in the pros. And I said Alabama, you know, even though they've been good recently, I wouldn't really consider. I consider them more a product of their coach. You know,
really, but Alabama has one more. But Alabama has won more national championships than any other school in the country history.
So I'm at it right now. Like I said, right now Alabama. Like a Nick Saban. Notre Dame was getting recruits no matter who they're called. Like, that's what I'm saying. Notre Dame.
Yeah, I get what Mike is saying. You know, Alabama, y'all was kind of down, but then Saban came back, brought y'all up. Notre Dame still, you know, like Mike was saying, still was still in the mix.
Yeah, because they have a national, whatever. They have a national TV contract on NBC.
That's not it. SC doesn't have that. Miami doesn't have that. And they do the same thing. So you can't, you know, you can't just say, you can't say NBC and, you know, put everything on that. They're a national power. They always have been. And they probably always will be. That's just the way it is in college football.
All right, man. I'm not going to say. What you got to think?
I was going to kind of add, it's somewhat kind of, I mean, a little bit with Notre Dame race because the whole Tyrone Willingham situation, you know.
Pissed me off.
You
with
have
that.
Enough time, you know, yeah. It's been, like, my dad's one of the people and his friends and some people here, you know, they kind of was upset about that, you know, how Notre Dame did that, you know. So I say it is to an extent on that.
All right. Well, speaking, now that you said that Tyrone Willingham situation, we're going to talk about a topic that is kind of going kind of a little buzzing right now in college football. Tyrone Willingham, for example, he was the only African-American coach to actually get a second chance in division or FBS football. And there was a comment made by the Colorado coach who was just recently fired. I really don't know. I forgot his name. But he said black head coaches.
Embry.
He said that black head coaches don't get a second chance. So I just want to know, what's your opinion on that? Do you think that college football should do something about that since they have a very small amount of African-American coaches in division, major college football? What do you think should be done? I mean, what do you think should be done? That's the question right there. Tex, what's your opinion on that?
Can you do anything? Like I said, it's a good old boy network. And these boosters, these people ain't paying money out to folks that they don't recognize, that don't look like. That's just the bottom line with that.
I mean, I have to.
So you're basically saying there's nothing that should be done about it?
No, I'm not. I'm asking what will be done. I mean, you're saying something should be done about it, and I'm like, what? You know,
could do like the NFL does. You know, make sure you, like they were talking about on First Take today. You could do like what the NFL does. Make sure you when you are. Going for
something. I mean, all that's kind of a joke, though, Quazelle, because all that is making sure that they have to have a coach
what I'm saying is if somebody comes in there and has a good interview, you may not necessarily hire him, but you'll be like, I may refer this guy to another guy, or this guy might be.
And how many times that happened in the NFL?
It's happened a few times. I mean, look at the NFL. The coaches are how many black coaches have came out since the that rule was put in place. You know, you got the guy in Minnesota, you got Lovie Smith, you got Mike Tomlin, you got a few more. So, I mean,
Lovie Smith,
Romeo
Tomlin, all coaches have been around forever. And, you know, like I say, the only way it's going to change in college football is until the players themselves decide where they want to start going to school and who they want to start playing for. It's kind of like what I talked to Brimson Buckner about when you had him on the show. You know, you can go to a school that still flies a Confederate flag and play Old Dixie during halftime, and, you know, everybody can cheer for you on the field, but when you get off that field, you're still going to be looked at a certain way. And until these guys start taking matters in their own hands and choosing where they want to go and what they want to do, it's going to, you know, like Tex said, it's going to stay like that. It's a good old boy network. You know, you see the same guys. I mean, it's cats already talking about getting Bobby Petrino a job again. And it's like, really?
He's
about to come back and coach someplace? Nobody is better than him? But, you know, on the other hand, also, I really can't I really think old boy Embry, I think that he kind of pulled the race car a little bit early because Colorado is horrible. They might be the worst school in college football. They like I said a couple of weeks ago, I've never seen a school fall from national prominence like them ever. I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, they lost to many FBS schools a couple of different times. You know, it's they're a joke. You know, and part of that has to go to the coach. Somebody has to take the blame with that. You got to, coaching college coaching, you got a hot seat. You know, you look at Gene Chizik, he's gone and he won a national championship 2 years ago. You know, so it's a very hot seat, you know, in some of these coaching positions. And, you know, Colorado, they want to get back to where they were. They were always an excellent program. They were always, you know, in contention to win their conference title. And, you know, like they got a couple of national championships, So until somebody can get them back there, it's gonna fall on the coach.
I mean, I also say too.
I don't know if he threw the card. Hold on.
Well,
he didn't throw the card. He just said African American coaches generally don't get a second chance, and he understood that.
Yeah, he said after he got fired, he wasn't saying it when he. I mean, what is it? You know, coaches always say that when they get fired. I want to see somebody saying that while they're still a coach or while.
He's the only coach that ever said that. I don't know any other coaches that said that. You know.
Exactly.
But, well, I mean,
couple others have said it. But okay, let's look. You know, like you said, you mentioned Tyrone Willingham. Okay, you know, he left the program at Stanford to go to Notre Dame. Maybe he should have just stayed at Stanford, you know?
Yeah, he probably should.
Look at Turner Gill. He left Buffalo to go to Kansas and went 0-11, you know, and that program was coming off of Mark Mangino, and, that, you know, Kansas was an up-and-coming program. So, I mean, you can't, you know, some of these coaches, they do get second chances, and they don't, you know, they don't take advantage of them. Look at old boy who was at Mississippi State. What was his name?
Sylvester Croom.
Yeah, Sylvester Croom. Yeah. Look what happened, you know what I mean? You got, you know, if you get a chance, you got to take advantage of it. You can't, you know.
Well, you might not ever get the opportunity, though, too.
Yeah,
well,
especially, like I said, especially when you're putting yourself in a position where you're gonna be scrutinized. Like, if you want the top spot, you gotta put up or shut up. You know, like I say, either one of them coaches could have stayed where they was and been successful. You know.
Well, you know, I think, like, where these black coaches are going, they're not going to these top places. It's hard to win at Kansas. You say Mark Mangini was winning. When he got fired, he was going down. And then they put the program was going down. And then they put in Turner Gill. He couldn't resurrect it back up.
I mean, they were coming off 11-1 season, man. I don't, you know.
No, they weren't. He didn't get fired off that 11-1 season. Mangini didn't get – Mangini, whatever that guy's name is. He didn't get fired off that 11-1 season, no. They had an 11-1 season, and then they had a few poor seasons right after that. They fired him, and then they brought in Turner Gill.
He got into it was a scandal when he got fired, dude. No, it wasn't a scandal.
No,
I can look
he had
at
a
it
losing
right
season. Tell me. He got fired, and then players started coming out and saying stuff about him. But whatever.
No,
I don't want to argue
beforehand,
about that.
Man. They did an investigation, I'm telling you, bro. That was beforehand.
Yeah, it was. They did have something where he was pretty much was forced out to probably go to resign.
Yeah, he had some
scandal, a little scandal to it. But yeah, it didn't even seem Turner Gill was there that long in Kansas to really do something. So really, he didn't really get a fair shake.
But I mean, you got to look. He built up a program at Buffalo that became a good program. You don't see old boy in Boise State trying to jump out for any coaching position. He knows he got a good thing where it is right now. Muschamp wouldn't have done good this year, and they offered Charlie Strong the job at Florida. You know, what was he going to do? Leave an up and coming program that he didn't build into something right now to go someplace where you know he can be fired in 2 years?
Well, so your recommendation is these black coaches, a lot of them should just stay where they are. Is that what you're basically saying?
If my thing is, if you're building up a program and you got something good, and the higher profile jobs, anybody gets fired from those jobs. It's not just black coaches. You know, anybody. You get cats that get fired after 2 years at high. Usually, you get 2 or 3 years at a high profile job. You know, Arizona fired Mark Stoops. You know, and that's Arizona. That's not a higher profile. You know what I mean? You know, you usually get 2 or 3 years to turn stuff around. If you do that, you stay. If you don't, you don't. You know, if not, go to stay at the program where you are.
But usually with the black coaches, though, they don't get second opportunities, though.
You mean to come back?
Yeah, to come back and they prove themselves again.
I mean, that could be. I'd have to see more examples of that. You know,
John L. Smith. John L. Smith got a job at Arkansas. Bobby Petrino's about to come back. Tommy Tuberville got a chance at Texas Tech. And they're talking about bringing him back in the SEC. There's plenty of, like, usually the people that get the second, Rick Neuheisel. He got a second chance at UCLA.
Yeah, and they had a brother coach, too, yeah, at UCLA not too long after that, but yeah.
So the point I'm saying is, like.
You said Rick Neuheisel's name came up again for a head coaching job?
No, but Tommy Tuberville is. Tommy Tuberville's in the consideration for Arkansas. So
off Arkansas, I mean that wouldn't be a bad look. Remember, he did go undefeated, and then, I mean,
yeah,
he did a national championship.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
That's not a bad choice.
We're going to get into that in a second. I think we're going to get into that topic in a second as far as these vacant coaching positions. But my thing is, I think the players, because I'm a proponent of HBCUs, I think a lot of these players should start being aware of this, these incoming high school players, and their parents should be getting in their ears being like, hey, you know what, you're not getting paid when you go to college anyway. That's the rule. That's the tech, because we know there's stuff going on behind the scenes, but still, you know, you're not getting paid anyway. So you might as well, you know, attend your HBCUs. You know, you're most likely to graduate. You have a higher chance of graduating at those institutions than you do at these predominantly PWI institutions. So you might as well, like, you know, a top recruit. Like, it has to be one guy that says, hey, you know what, a very top, highly five-star recruit has to be like, hey, you know what, man, I'm not going to be a part of this system. I'm going to go support my own institutions. And then if they see him succeed and end up being a first-round pick, then a lot of other players will start doing that. So, you know, I think that right there would help this situation out right there.
I get what you're saying, but I don't see that changing.
Yeah, to me, there's, you know, like I said, to me, for HBCU to do that, they'd have to get the same type of facilities as some of these other schools. They'd have to improve themselves a lot, man. I mean, you know, like I said, we all came from the same school, and we've seen the facilities there, and you can see the facilities at FSU, and there's no comparison, you know.
Yeah,
and like
no
I
comparison.
Said, you know,
that's
a school
right.
Like, you, let's take a school like FAMU. FAMU is not a small school. You know, like I said, it's not, you know, with it 15,000 students, it's not a small school, you know, like I say, you know, and for the money troubles it has, you know, it's too much. I mean, if you can barely get regular students to go there, what makes you get top athletes to go there? So it's like, you got to put up or shut up, you know.
No,
you
there has to be one, like Kellen Winslow Sr., what he did with Kellen Winslow Jr., he said, I'm not letting you go to a school where they don't have a track record of hiring African-American coaches. You know, there has to be parents to sort of instill that mindset in these top recruits. You know, that's the thing. Or
I kind of agree with that. But, I mean, you know, I totally agree that it takes the players to come out and do it, but I'm not going to say they need to go to go. I wouldn't expect no five-star recruit to go to no Alabama State or nothing crazy like that. I mean, you got to improve yourself as a school if you want to attract better people to come there. You know, and then HBCU's got a long way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not like that was back in the old days and stuff. It's not going to be like that ever again where, you know, all the top athletes, you know, particularly the black athletes going to those schools because our people wanted integration, so that changed it.
Well, I mean, you got to look at that, and like I say, look at the facilities, look at what the opportunities are offered to the school, you know, to the students. Look at the security. I mean, could you imagine a five-star recruit or anything coming to FAMU? You'd have half the people there wanting to beat them up and do something crazy. You know, I mean, it would be too crazy, man. I mean, you'd have to totally revamp the whole school if you want to start doing it. I mean, it's schools that have done it, not HBCUs, but I mean, you look at a school like, you know, Troy State, you know, I mean, they jumped up. You know, like I say, Marshall's jumped up, and, you know, different schools have done it, but for HBCU to do it, it would have to, like I say, it would have to be a total revamp from the top to the bottom. too much. You know, like I say, if they can't even get the top students, why would they get a few? What kind of top athlete would want to go there?
True.
All right.
You're talking about basketball too. I mean, if you're going to go into another sport, you know.
All right. Now, Mike was talking about these vacancies that are just happened. Arkansas, Auburn, Tennessee. What do you think there should be some names to get into those positions? Do you have any names that may some good names that will be good fits for some of these schools? I'm gonna start with you, Tex.
Well, I don't really know of any names. I guess Miles' name was out there to move to Arkansas, but LSU paid him out. They raised his salary this evening, so he's not going in.
Seven-year extension.
I paid coaches in the LA, so he's not going anywhere. I don't know who wants to go to Tennessee, Auburn, Arkansas. As strong as a conference is, the coaching jobs are not ideal places. They're not attractive jobs. You understand what I'm saying? SEC jobs? No, they're not attractive jobs.
Too much pressure?
No, there's a lot of pressure, but I've had this conversation with many people before. I mean, that's in these little SEC towns, that's all there is football. So everybody's a fanatic. You understand what I'm saying? There's people waiting outside your house. You know, everybody wants to know what you do or how the team is gonna. They're calling your house. They're showing up. They're on the tarmac when you get off the plane. You know what
they're
I'm
harassing
saying?
Your family
bothering,
yeah,
harassing, peeking in your windows. I mean, you know, this just ask Lane Kiffin when he was in Tennessee. Now he goes to Los Angeles to coach USC. Nobody cares who Lane Kiffin is because it's LA and everybody's doing something. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these jobs are not the most attractive jobs. The Florida, the Bama, you know, the obvious jobs are the best ones, but, you know, you get a guy to go to Arkansas or Auburn or Tennessee, it's a tough sale, man. It's a very, very tough sale. And
especially if you got a long way to go. You know, look at Dennis Dooley, you know, 2 years and gone.
Exactly.
I give you a great example.
Lane Kiffin goes to Tennessee. They're 35th in recruiting. They jump to 10th, and then they jump to 6th, all under Lane Kiffin, and then he bolts. Now, you're recruiting in a strong conference. Now, why are you just going to get up and leave like that? You're having some kind
job. Because his dream job was USC, that's why.
Well, why are you going to USC? Why are you getting out of Tennessee?
Because, like I said, his dream job was USC.
I understand his dream job was USC, but why is he leaving Tennessee when they continue to get better each and every year?
I guess he thought he could do better at USC. More talent?
You know, nobody's bothering. In Knoxville, Prudence and Jasper, you know what I'm saying? They're messing with him. He goes to LA. Nobody's screwing around with him.
When he first got there, he had cat because you know his wife is kind of pretty. You know, his wife was all over the internet. You know, all their business was everywhere. You know, her in pictures of bikinis and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it factors in. You know, like I said, that's why Chris Peterson said that's one of the reasons he ain't left Boise State. Why would he? He got a program. He can do what he want up there. You know, he's not being bothered. You know, so you know. If you're at a good size program, you're gonna get the same money. So you know,
they probably definitely boost up his pay because I know that every year.
I don't know. You're not gonna get the same pay at Boise State. You're not gonna get the same pay at Boise State as you would at Tennessee. You're not gonna get the same pay.
Why wouldn't you?
They're gonna pay you more money at Tennessee. Trust me. than Boise State.
You think that Tennessee has more students? I mean, how much you think Chris Peterson gets paid?
I don't know, but I'm talking about in terms of endorsements and base salary at Tennessee. These boosters,
and
man,
like
they're going
to
pay.
Okay, you can go to Tennessee like Dennis Dooley and coach for 2 years, or you can be like Chris Peterson and be at Boise State for how long you've been there? Past, what, 10, 15 years? What would you do?
I don't know. I mean, coaches, if you're a good coach, man, you're competitive, so you want to play against the best. You want to prove that you're the best. But he ain't got no national championship, man. You want to have the opportunity to make it to the national championship.
Only a couple of coaches can say they got national championship now. Gene Chizik has a national championship, and he's fired.
What'd you say?
I said Gene Chizik has a national championship, and he's fired.
He could continue to set. The point I'm saying is, if you're a coach, you're a competitor. You want to go to the top. You want to be the best. That's why you see all these top, like the guy from Oregon. He may go to the league. You know, he has a good dig at Oregon. But he might want to go to the league because he wants to compete against the best.
That's a big difference between going to the NFL and going to another college, though, Clive. How many times do you see a college make a major besides like Texas State, Lane Kiffin leaving Tennessee? How many times do you see a major college coach change jobs? How many times that happened?
It doesn't happen often. You said major college coach. You talking about like major team go to another major team?
I was going to add this. Dog.
Either way, how many times has that happened?
But they say this
from
about
a major
Chip
team
Kelly.
To another major team. It didn't happen that much.
They say this about Chip Kelly. They were saying Michigan too might be trying to lure him to come to Michigan.
You're not leaving Eugene for Michigan.
Right, and they throw a big and do what they can. Oh, yeah, but they do got Phil Knight there. But yeah, it'd be interesting, though. But, hey, if it did happen, I wouldn't be surprised.
Unless he goes to the NFL, he ain't leaving Oregon. I mean, that's, you know. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Lateral move.
All right, like, I mean, what about, like, before we go to the next topic here, the guy from Louisville, Charlie Strong, do you think he should go to these SEC schools?
Like I said, he could have been the head coach of Florida, but why didn't he? Everybody was saying they didn't want a black man who had a white wife there, so why put yourself up for that type of, you know, that type of scrutiny if you got a winning program where you are? They're going to the ACC next year, so obviously they're stepping their game up.
Man, that's how that –
Hey, Mike, you said the reason why they didn't want him because he's married to a – what did you say that again? I didn't want
to
say –
Because he's married to a white woman.
Well, okay.
You know, yeah, that's a rumor. I mean, I'm sure you heard that, Clavel. You know?
Yeah, I heard that. They were talking about that. No, that was a rumor. That was a rumor. That's what someone came up and said, you know. Somebody said, okay, it's a spinoff on that right there. Somebody was saying that, you know, him being married to a white woman would sort of hurt him in recruiting because when he goes and sits in these female-dominated black males' homes, you know, the black mother maybe, you know, may not like the fact that he's married to a white woman, which would discourage her son to go to Florida. Do you think there's some truth to that?
No, that's made up. Ooh, first of all, whose mama even know whose coach is married to who? Come on now. You know,
they're gonna blow it up. I'm just saying, you know, somebody had brought that up to there.
I think Charlie Strong, I sent a text out not too long ago. I think Charlie Strong would be perfect coach in Miami. I think Miami got to get a big time coach because I don't think Golden's the guy, and I guess they give him another year and they're gonna see why.
Wow. All right, so, I mean, my thing is the consistency is, even with Tech, do you think Charlie Strong should take these SEC jobs?
I wouldn't. Like I said, I'd stay right where I was.
I'm talking about Tech. What's your opinion on that?
On Charlie Strong moving to an SEC school?
Yeah.
It might be a step up for him, but why do that? It's like Mike said, Louisville getting ready to go to the ACC. They got a rising program. I mean, why? I could understand if it was Florida or Alabama or LSU, but Arkansas, I mean, you know, these drag spots, Arkansas, LSU, Knoxville, I mean, just stay at Louisville.
I don't know. They got some deep pockets at Arkansas. I mean,
Louisville got major bread. Louisville got a brand new.
You think they got like Arkansas? I don't know if they got like Arkansas. I don't know. They got deep pockets there now.
You do know that dude who owns Papa John's is funding Louisville program.
I got you. But I mean, if you're gonna offer a guy 5 years, less miles, $27 million, I mean, to coach.
That's LSU. Arkansas ain't offering nobody no $30 million. I can tell you that right now.
Hmm. Who you talking about? Arkansas? You don't think Arkansas gonna get a jump $30 million?
Like I said last week though, watch for Gus Malzahn. I could easily see him coming and taking any one of those positions and turning those schools around.
He's an SEC guy.
He runs a good program. You know, I can see him at Auburn or Arkansas. And they're also saying John Gruden too. But, you know, his name comes up every year, and he already said he ain't doing it, so.
He already said he's not going to Tennessee, because I know his name been blowing up all about Tennessee.
I think he said something about it yesterday that he ain't going there.
If he turn out Miami, are you sure as heck he ain't going to go to Tennessee?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to the next topic here. Your top five teams. Who are your top five teams in chronological order? Start with you, Kelly, Mike.
It's really unchanged. I got Notre Dame, I got Ohio State, I got Alabama, I got Oregon, and I got Florida. Georgia. So, you know, it's really I think I might have Florida last week. I think Georgia though. But, you know, like I said, it's really unchanged.
All right, Chi-Town.
I mean, you got to go with the records. I mean, Notre Dame, 1. Ohio State, 2, because they still undefeated.
You got Ohio State at number 2?
Yeah, they still undefeated. Big Ten.
If they weren't under sanctions, they'd be playing in the national championship right now.
Yeah. They just have to, go up to the Big 12 championship, and, you know, they take care of business.
No, I'm just saying, who do you – regardless of record, man, who do you think are the best five teams? I'm not worried about the records. Who do you think are the best five teams in the country?
For that one, though, I still would say that. But if you got to say playing-wise, number 2, you could say Alabama, 2A, or you could say Oregon, 2A, 2B, either or for number 2 for those right there. Then right after that, then I would say Georgia. Then I would say Florida at number 5.
All right, Tex, what you got? Tex, you there? Tex.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I think mine might be unchanged, too. I had you access earlier this week. I mean, you know, folks call it whatever they want, but 5, Georgia. 4, Notre Dame, 3, Oregon, 2, Florida, 1, Alabama. And I think A&M is right there somewhere along the lines, along with Stanford.
All right, I got Alabama, I got Georgia, I got Florida, I got Notre Dame, and then I got Stanford, number 5. Those are my top 5 teams. All right. If you want to call in, make sure you call at 347-237-5539. All right. This game this weekend, Alabama versus Georgia, the number 2 versus the number 3 team in the nation. Who do you guys have winning and why? I'm going to start with you, Chi-Town. Chi-Town, you there?
Oh, yeah, I lost you. What was the question again, Quazell?
Who do you have winning in the Alabama-Florida Georgia game this weekend?
Alabama and Georgia. Man, that game, of course, the home field going to go to the Georgia Dogs, playing in the Georgia Dome. I mean, it's going to be – it could be a heck of a game, but I'm going to stick with Alabama. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's close, though.
Okay. Callie, Mike, who you have?
Oh, man. I would – and any other time I would say Alabama, but I don't know, man. Something about Georgia this year, I think – I mean, like I said, I think they're talented enough to do it. And, you know – I like I said, I, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, I really like Aaron Murray as a quarterback. So, I'm gonna go ahead and say Georgia. Like I said, I like him. I think if Jarvis Jones can get in the backfield and start messing with AJ McCarron, I think you could see a similar thing like what happened in the Texas A&M game. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with Georgia.
Okay, all right, Tex, who you got?
I do think Georgia will probably give Bama a little bit of trouble because of the athletes they have defensively, especially in the front seven and on the edges. But I think I'm going with Alabama. I think Nick Saban gets his teams up for big games. It's nothing new for them. I like Georgia. I think they have the best pure athletes in the SEC and maybe in the nation. But I don't know about Mark Richt. I don't know if these guys are under serious, if he's putting these guys under serious pressure and getting ready for this game. Nick Saban, I mean, they're always down to earth. There's never any pressure, and I mean they play big in big games. They're always ready to play. You understand what I'm saying? So I think I got to roll with Alabama because I do think they're the better team. I think they're better coached. I think they'll be more prepared than Georgia will.
Well, last week I had Georgia, but I'm going to have to switch to Alabama now based on two things. The first thing is, Alabama has, ever since the loss against Texas A&M, Alabama has not allowed one single point against anybody. Number two, I think Georgia has given Alabama some bulletin board material. Georgia's safety has said that they will win the game. It felt as if they are better than Alabama in almost every phase of the game. And I think that's going to fuel Alabama's anger. And I think Alabama will come out winning the game. And plus, I watched the game for Georgia versus Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech was actually moving the ball. They just couldn't score. But they were actually moving the ball up and down the field against Georgia in terms of running the ball. So I feel like with Georgia Tech's undersized offensive linemen, they were still able to push Georgia's linemen around, but they were able to be in the right place at the right times to execute their blocks. I think Alabama, with their All-American offensive line, they have like three All-Americans on their offensive line. So I think Alabama will be able to handle Georgia's interior defensive tackles and nose guards. So I got Alabama in this game. And so I have Alabama against Notre Dame in the national championship game. Speaking of which,
I was going to say, it's a funny thing about Georgia, man, because, man, I was saying, man, Rick, you know, we was hearing that on TV, and I was saying that if Rick didn't beat Georgia, Rick didn't beat Florida, that he was probably going to be out. And now, you know, he beat Florida ever since things changed. So I kind of agree with Texas saying, but you definitely, this definitely be something big for Rick if, you know, if they turn out and beat Alabama. You know, I think if that happens, then he might not have that much critics because, you know, he beat Alabama in the SEC championship, you know, the SEC champion. So I think it's a lot at stake for him, too.
Also, I'd like to say that, contrary to what Cosville said about Alabama not allowing a point scored, the last two schools they played since they lost Texas A&M are Western Carolina and Auburn, who are a combined 4-20.
Well, I mean, still they didn't allow a point. That says something when you don't allow a point, you know.
They're playing Western Carolina and Auburn, who are combined.
Auburn's a Division I school. They Auburn scored against Georgia.
Auburn doesn't even have a coach right now.
No, but they had the coach at that time when they played. So,
the point I'm making is
they didn't allow a point. You know, so that means their defense is on point right now.
It led to Coach Chizik's demise. I say, even though I say that he was going to be out, I knew he was going to be out. If he would have beaten Alabama, it don't matter if he won by 1 point, 2 point, half a point. If he would have beaten Alabama, I think Gene Chizik would still be the head coach of Auburn right now.
Exactly, that's true.
He just get blasted. He got blasted by Alabama, and he got blasted worse by Georgia. Georgia, I mean, they muddled them boys, man.
So, I mean, the point is, you know, Alabama's defense was mad over that Texas A&M game. So I think they're going to have bad intentions for this game.
Who did they play after the A&M game?
Mike just discussed that. We already know who they played.
All right.
Callie sure. Mike already discussed that.
But I don't know about how mad you have to be to beat
Western Carolina and Auburn.
It's not necessarily beating them. That's not the point I'm saying, Callie Mike, because we know they were going to beat them anyway. The point is they didn't allow 1 point against either one of those teams. That's the point I'm making. They haven't allowed a point since when you don't allow a point.
FBS in, school, isn't it?
Is Auburn FBS mad. School?
You had to be mad to not give up a point to them?
Usually,
Auburn's still a rivalry game, though, even though them boys, man, I mean, they beat them up. But I was still a rivalry
Look who else Auburn has beat this year. Louisiana Monroe in overtime, New Mexico State, and Alabama A&M.
Yep. And they didn't even win no game against no SEC team.
Has Auburn been shut out this year?
Not there.
Hold on. Hey, Callie Mike, has Auburn been shut out this year by anybody else?
Huh?
Has Auburn been shut out by anybody else this year?
Yeah.
Who?
Georgia.
And it was worse than what they did.
Well, that should be the end of that club, though. Let's keep it moving.
No, we ain't keeping it moving. Hold up. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to check behind you. The point I make it is, man, Alabama's on a mission. And I think Alabama is going to win this game. They're mad. All right. What's the next topic here?
They want to be number one, so yep.
Who's your Heisman winner now? And tell me why. Callie Mike, I'm going to start with you.
I would say Johnny Manziel. How do you say his name? Manziel? Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
He's a freshman quarterback for Texas A&M. He plays in supposedly the toughest defensive conference in the country, but he dominated it. Over 3,000 yards passing and 3,000 yards rushing. I mean, 1,000 yards rushing. For someone who wasn't, I don't even think he was a four-star recruit, but that's the best defensive conference and the best conference. But I really think that they're going to give it to Matty Teow. He's getting a lot of publicity. The media is behind him, and he's posting Notre Dame. So, you know, I really think so. Even though Manziel is worthy of it, you got to look at Matty Teow. I mean, there's other candidates, but for some reason, a lot of the other candidates really aren't even getting talked about. So, you know, it seems to me like it's going to come down between those two, which is going to be history-making either way. So, you know, I put my edge towards Dale just because he's a senior, and he goes to Notre Dame, and they're undefeated. So.
All right. Shot-town, who you got?
I really don't.
You don't know? Shatan, you there? All right, something
on. Phone
there, well. Yeah, so who you got, Tex? Who you got,
Tex?
You know, Manziel, he's had an excellent year. If I had to vote, I mean, I think to me, Marquise Lee has been the most dominant college player this year. That's just my opinion. Huh?
He's got a chance to win it, too. I put Lee up there. He's got a chance
to win it. But you know what, though? Honestly, I think T.O. will get it because, you know, everybody fall in love with him. His mom died. His girl died. So, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? But, I don't mean it like that, but, you know, there's that, okay, this is what he did. You know, people's moms and daughters and girlfriends dying every day. But, all right. But the thing is, I think T.L. will get it. I think the class is not strong. It's not a strong class of Heisman finalists, in my opinion. But
I agree with Tex. A lot of teams didn't end up where a lot of players didn't end up where they weren't going to be. Matt Barkley, Monty Ball, Geno Smith. You know, even though Geno Smith's still having a terrific season this year too, his team just isn't doing that good. But you know, he still only has like 5 interceptions and 40 touchdowns maybe. So.
If I had to vote for somebody, I'd vote for Marquise Lee.
All right, Shatown, who you got?
They're probably going to give it to, I don't know, it ain't been a defensive lineman.
He's kind of disconnected again. Well, let me give you my winner here. I'm going to give it to Tao. Only because Johnny Manziel, he didn't do well against Florida and LSU. You know, he had 2 games off. So, I'm going
but he
to...
He dominated against Alabama, though.
Whatever the case is, I'm looking at
he
the
ground,
complete
He ground
season.
Him into the ground.
I'm looking at the complete season, okay? And
he stomped out Alabama's number one team in the country.
And
supposedly.
The thing is, I think that, you know, I give it to Manti Te'o because every week... He has performed every single week. So that's why, based on that fact right there, he's done it the complete season, whereas Johnny Manziel hasn't done that the complete season. So I'm giving it to
Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel did dominate Alabama, though. Remember that game a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, just like Stephon Taylor dominated LSU, I mean, dominated USC. I mean, you remember that, right? Don't you? Don't you? Kenyon Barner dominated USC. You remember that? Do you remember that? I just wanted to refresh your memory. But anyway.
Don't do that for the Heisman Trophy. We're talking about Heisman Trophy finalists.
Shot
Marquise
down.
Lee is going to be there.
Shot down.
Yeah.
You know who's not going to be there? AJ McCarron.
We don't want him there.
I really can't call it, but, I mean, he ain't been a defensive lineman in one in so long. So, I mean, Mike said that guy from Notre Dame, all this hype with Notre Dame. You know, so it might could go to that guy. So, I mean, if it does happen, I won't be surprised. So, I really can't call who's going to win because the guys be named to start of the season. And I'm like, it's going to happen for them being up there to win it.
I didn't get who you have winning?
The boy from Notre Dame, possibly.
Also, you got to look at other factors, too. You know, Notre Dame is tied with SC and Ohio State for most Heisman Trophy winners. So they all get a vote, too. So, you know, you got to look at that. These other schools, particularly, you know, like Texas A&M, I don't think they have a Heisman. Well, I don't know. I don't think they had a Heisman winner there. Well, no, they got one. And, you know, a lot of these other guys only come from schools that have one winner. So, you know, it'll be easier, a lot easier for us. You know, a player from Notre Dame or Alabama to win it. I mean, or USC. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Alabama. They only have one Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'd rather take the championships over the Heisman Trophy anyway, though, so it's no big deal.
Well, we're talking about Heisman right now.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather take the championship over the Heisman, but.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too, my friend. It's all about the rain, man.
Exactly.
The Heisman, you get a ceremony and a very large trophy, and you're the best player in the country.
True. You're right on that. That's something you and the prestige company when you were a Heisman Trophy winner.
Same with a national championship.
Tied together forever, but then, you know, Heisman, that's an individual award you have. You, like Cali Mike said, best player in the country.
All right. Well, let me go to the next topic here.
It is 8:32.
I really wish one of our callers, one of our favorite callers, called in. He had made a statement. Actually, I was watching the game with him this past weekend, the Florida State versus Florida game, and he was telling me that he wanted to talk about this on the show about as far as Urban Meyer. He's won. He's been undefeated at Ohio State in his first season. But I want to know, what's your opinion of Urban Meyer as a coach? Do you think he's a little bit overrated by the fact that he inherited a great team at Florida and he's inheriting a very good team at Ohio State? What do you think about that? Do you think he's an overrated coach? He's not as cracked up as he really is? I'm going to start with you.
Heck no, he ain't overrated, man. I mean, this team, Ohio State, you saw their record last year, and this year, I mean, comes in, they, you know, they get some recruits, and this team goes undefeated. Who would have thought that Ohio State was going to go undefeated? No, I don't think any of us thought Ohio State was going to go undefeated. I don't think any of us said Ohio State, you know, if say they was ineligible, you know, be the team of the Big Ten. So, like, man, I mean, I first thought, you know, I wasn't sold on him when he first came to Florida, because I didn't think he was an SEC type of guy. You know, he coached at Utah. Utah's not the SEC. But, I mean, he made, you know, a believer out of me. So, I mean, Urban Meyer, he's a heck of a coach. That man can recruit.
He can recruit any coach. Urban Meyer, he's probably one of the top 10 coaches all time, to tell you the truth. He's a bad cat. He gets
three schools.
Look at his track record. Utah, Florida, Ohio State
took three different teams to, I mean, being undefeated.
Yeah, until BCS. I think he was at Baylor, or he was at some school before Utah, and took them to a top record too. I mean, he's, you know, look what he's done. Look at the picks he puts out. Look at the players he produces. I mean, you could say he inherited a lot of players at Florida, but what was old boy doing with him? What was Ron Zook doing with them before then? You know, so I mean, anybody can get a group of guys together and play. I mean, you look at some overrated coaches. I would look at Les Miles, who then had numerous national championship worthy teams, you know, and they've come up short a lot of times, even though he's had success. So I mean,
I don't think
somebody,
Les Miles,
you know,
is overrated. That's not, I disagree. Les Miles is a very good coach. No, I don't think he's overrated. He's very good.
Les Miles, he's shaking.
He won with Nick Saban's players.
Hey, yeah, talent at Oklahoma State and didn't do anything. So, you know.
He's okay. But the only title he won with Nick Saban's players. You know, the last title he won, I wasn't his
yep,
most
like
players
like
in the group.
LSU has not been the same since Jimbo Fisher left. Anybody look at them play can tell that.
You talking about last year's defense wasn't that good? Are you serious?
I mean, Carville, how many players can you get on a defense? I mean, he's at LSU. I mean, how many you can get? So many five-star. He ain't out there playing himself. I mean, they were good. What did they do?
They weren't good this year. You don't think their defense was good this year? You don't think
it'd be hard for them to be bad. Defense, offense and defense are totally different when you're in college. You can get, defense relies a lot on speed and size, so you can recruit very well and have a good defense and not, you know, as long as your team is fast and you got fast, strong guys, it'll make up for a lot of stuff. But like I said, you look at that offense, with the players that they have, that should be a top 10 offense, easy.
Yeah, they don't. He's not an offensive minded coach. Well, he's not really an X's and O's kind of a guy. He's more of a motivator. He's like a Jimmy Johnson. He's more of a motivator. He's not necessarily like Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. Yeah. They're more of X's and O's kind of a guys. But Urban Meyer has that mix where he can motivate his players, and he's a good X's and O's player. Like a Nick Saban, he's just more of an X's and O's kind of
coach.
Guy.
I guess he's a good coach.
Yeah,
you know,
he's more of an X's
and O's. He's able to do every day.
But some players are really exceptional at doing more so X's and O's. Nick Saban's like that. What's the guy named from San Francisco 49ers? Bill Walsh was like that. Mark Rick is like that. They're more X's and O's. They're very football knowledgeable, you know. But when it comes to like a halftime speech or something like that to motivate the players, they're not going to come out and say nothing crazy, you know, nothing something spectacular. Whereas like a Jimmy Johnson or a Les Hello.
Yeah.
Y'all still there?
Mm-hmm. You still there?
Yeah. Like a Jimmy Johnson or a Les Miles is going to be more of a, you know, a great speaker to motivate his players. That's the difference right there. You know, you got to have both to be.
Well, I mean, that, like I said, that can be said, but I mean, I'll say this. If you were give Urban Meyer, let's say this, put Urban Meyer on LSU, what do you have? At least three national championships. And dominated the SEC for sure.
Well, I see. That's why I disagree with you because, you know, I think Urban Meyer got ran out of the SEC personally. I just my personal opinion. I think, he was – I'm going to tell you why. I mean, he was losing to LSU and Alabama so many times. He was like, man, I got to get out of here, and I'm going to Ohio. I'm going up north. That's exactly what happened with Urban Meyer.
He got run out. I think he was just burnt out, man, you know?
He was burnt out from losing to Alabama and LSU because he knew he couldn't win.
The man had a heart attack. You remember he actually quit 2 years ago and came back? Remember
He came back. And then the following year.
Yeah. So, I mean, what that tells you that the man really didn't want to coach there anymore. He was having health problems.
No. He quit.
Let me finish here.
I remember exactly what happened. He quit, then he came back because he felt like he was losing some valuable players. He knew he was coming back when he first quit. So then the season went on. Then that season he got blown out by Alabama. He got blown out by LSU. And then he was like, you know what, man? I ain't got no time for this. I'm taking a year off, and I'm going to go up north. That's exactly what he did because he knows he can recruit better up there than he can at LSU and Alabama. Because Nick Saban and Les Miles were going in there and picking the best players out of Florida. They were plucking the best players out of Florida, and he's at Florida. That's exactly okay. Whatever. Don't agree with me. All right, it's no big deal.
Don't worry. I don't.
That's good. That's good because you know I'm right. But it's whatever.
What do you think on it, Chuck? You didn't say nothing. Hey, Chuck, you didn't say nothing. What's your take on what Clausell just said?
Mine's a fine coach. I mean, you know, who's that to say he did what he did with Zook's players? I mean, Larry Coker had the same players. Miami went down after that year. They won the national championship with Coker, and they had players for days. So, you know, Meyer's legit. He's fine.
You think he could come back in the SEC and do what he did in Florida? Like, if he took a job at Tennessee, you think he'd bring Tennessee back to where they were?
Tennessee is not an ideal spot. I don't know a coach that's raw like that. Tennessee, not an ideal job.
I don't think he could do that. I mean, but, you know, I think he could do it at Ohio State because Ohio State has the best support system because they want to win games at Ohio State. But
Ohio native too, so of course they're gonna have all the backing in the world because he's an Ohio type of guy.
He got ran out the SEC. That's what happened. But anyway,
it does have anything to do with him being Ohio native, Clausell. You're right. That doesn't have anything to do with him. The reason why he wants to go to Ohio State. You're right.
Whatever, man. Florida's a better job than Ohio State.
But really, that was a dream job, though. Ohio State was a dream job.
Hold on. Did you just say Florida is a better job than Ohio State?
Yes, it is. It is.
Are you on basketball?
I don't know.
No, Florida's a better job than Ohio State. Florida, you're in the middle of the state of Florida. You're in the middle of the state of Florida, man.
You're in the middle of the state of Florida with all that talent.
Are you kidding me? Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying So you're saying it's an easier job or something like that. It's not a better dude. Ohio State is one of the top coaching positions. There's only a couple of top positions in college football to where you want to – Ohio State is one of those seats where you're it in college football.
Yep. You see how Ohio
State got the national championship. They got the Heisman Trophy winners to back themselves up. They got a much larger stadium than anything you're going to play in the SEC. Much larger fan base.
That's not true.
I mean,
Their stadium is not larger than Tennessee.
Ohio State Stadium? Are you crazy?
Tennessee has the largest stadium in the country.
I got to check that out.
You know that, right?
Look it up on your iPhone.
So I don't need to look that up.
Tennessee has the second largest in the country.
No, you don't even know what you're talking about, so I don't need to look anything up. Keep it moving.
Oh, I'm about to look it up right now for you, man.
I don't know. Either they got it or Michigan got it, because, you know, Michigan was, you know what I'm saying, they renovating that stadium too. So, you know, each year Notre Dame, it has to be either one up, because Notre Dame got a big stadium too.
All right, well, let's go to the NFL here. All right,
University of Florida is nowhere near as many people as Ohio State, as no many people as Ohio State either. You know that, right?
Hold up. Let's go to the NFL here. the Washington Redskins.
Wait, hold on. I'm pulling it up just now. Is Michigan followed by Penn State? And you're right. Tennessee is 2,000 more people than Ohio State. 2,000 more seats. Okay, you got. But Michigan and Penn State have way more people than Tennessee. Ohio State has 10,000 more seats than anything in Florida. 12,000 actually 13,000. It's Michigan, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, USC, LSU, Alabama, UCLA, and Florida.
I'm looking at
Notre Dame. Wow, Notre Dame's not up there. Wow. I know they renovating that. I thought they add more to that, but wow. Ohio State gonna probably have some more of it, you know, because they're gonna be expecting to win it now with Urban Meyer, being there for the time he's there. So they're gonna be adding seats.
All right, let's go to the NFL here. The Redskins beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And a lot of people are starting to believe that the Redskins can make the playoffs, make a run and go to the playoffs. Do you think that could happen? Let me start with you, Tex. What do you think?
Maybe. It's going to be tight. But Robert Griffin, he's playing at a high level. At times he looks unstoppable. Sometimes he learns, depends on the defense, he learns that hard lesson. But, who are the Cowboys? I'm at a loss for words because Robert Griffin III is an excellent quarterback. But then again, I look at it as he was playing the Cowboys. So, I guess they might make the playoffs, but it was the Cowboys, and while I did pick them to win the game, I kind of knew RG3 was gonna do what he did. I mean, it's silly ass Dallas Cowboys.
You must be mad at your boys, man. I can tell you're mad at your boys, man.
I'm not mad. I've come to expect something. So, I get what I expect. You understand what I'm saying? Emmett, Troy, Mike ain't walking through the door. So, to me, that's trouble. That's trouble in itself. But whatever. They can maybe they can make the playoffs, but the NFC is tight. An okay team is probably gonna miss the playoffs. 10-6 in the right situation, it might not be enough. If anything, that would probably be best case scenario for Washington. They still can't play any defense. They still have a rookie quarterback. They still have a coach that will, you know, instead of his players being the stars, he'll want to be the superstar because that's the kind of coach Shanahan is. And that hurts his teams, and that
he pretty much threw in the towel a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and RG3, like my boy said, RG3 saved butts. So.
You sure did.
All right, Shatown, what's your opinion?
Well, I agree the NFC is tight and tough. Redskins, I mean, RG3, I mean, regardless what happens for a rookie, he's doing a heck of a job. You know, he's going to be a great one in the NFL, along with him and Andrew Luck. But, man, I say it's December time. It's either time. It's that time now, and he's a rookie. So will he hit that rookie wall or –
He's not going to hit a wall. I mean, this is November, and he's showing up. There's no wall to hit. You know, there's lessons to be learned, but at this point, there's no wall to. I mean, I don't see where is the wall at? You got okay. They got the game against the Giants. And the schedule is very much in play. You got Baltimore, you got Cleveland, you got Philly, then you got Dallas again. So it's possible for the Skins to do it. I don't see no quote unquote rookie wall being hit anywhere.
I'm back now. I'm saying you never know. I mean, like I said, December time, so you never know. Teams, like we all know, the NFC is competitive. Teams is fighting. So this is the last month now. So. Will he hit that wall, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he do, but I have to see make that push, possibly get in the playoff. Oh, man. Right now, I see the next few games for me to call it to see if they are or not, but.
All right, Kyrie, Mike, what's your take on this?
Okay team probably ain't going to make it, and he right.
I think the Redskins got a chance. You know, like I say, they're a young team. You know, they're up and coming team. Like RG3, I mean, he's a baller, man. I mean, you gotta start looking at him like for end of the season awards. You know, and where he's gonna, he's what special what he's got there. You know, he's balling out, man. I think he might crack 3,000 yards, 1,000 rushing yards this year. You know, he's crazy, and Alfred Morris, he's playing good, and these guys, and they're missing their best defensive player in Brian Arakpo too. So, like I said, this is a team. I think if they keep going the way they're going, yeah, they could squeak in there, they're not in the toughest conference and the toughest division, So, I think they have a chance, it's gonna come down to it. You got a lot of teams that, their records are right around the same, but only a game or so far from each other, so I think they got as good a chance as anybody else,
Well, I think their playoff chances are going to end, when they play the Giants on next Monday. I think they're going to lose to the Giants. The Giants showed that, I think when they want to play, they're a top five team in NFL by beating Green Bay this past weekend. So,
also, big Giants fan. Also, too, the Giants lost to the Redskins twice last year. So, they want some payback and some redemption from last year.
That's true. A rival
in a division foe in your conference. So, yeah, them boys is ready. They know what them boys do.
Yeah, when the lights are on, they beat San Francisco in San Francisco. They beat Green Bay on Sunday night. So I think, the Giants are priming themselves, to make another playoff run, I think, to show that, they're at least a top five NFL team. Now, they have the ability. Now, if they go to the playoffs, I think they have the ability to beat Atlanta at home, because Atlanta looks like they're going to get the home field advantage. Now, would San Francisco go?
I was going to say, I think Atlanta is a team that, you know, they kind of, even though their record, they're not as good as advertised with that record. I mean, like they was talking about that on the show and the radio about it. I mean, the teams they playing, I mean, they're not, you know, blowing people out like the Arizona game. You know, Matt Ryan threw, I think, 3 or 4 interceptions in that game at home. And in Arizona, I mean, only beat them boys by 1 point. You know, so that's a team that you're supposed to be the best in the NFC in the conference, and it's that time. It's time to show either you're going to beat them up or not, and they haven't really dominated anybody. And I think they're going to lose to the New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints, another thing that's when we talk about the Redskins, the Saints is right there too. They know they can't really lose any more games. They try to make that playoff push like Tony was saying, and I think the Saints is going to beat them to give Atlanta their second loss.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on that? Like, do you think Atlanta is the best team in the NFC?
No.
Text.
I think I didn't know you were talking to me. I thought you were talking to Mike. Team in – huh?
Yeah. Do you think Atlanta is the best team in the NFC?
Nah, I don't think they're the best team in the NFC. I think they have some hope. Who do I think the best team in the NFC is?
Yeah.
Probably the 49ers right now.
49ers right now. And I think Cali might think it's the 49ers too sometimes. Do you think 49ers are the best team in the NFC?
Yeah. I mean, they're playing at a high level right now. I'm hoping, like I say, from what I seen last week, I'm hoping I was wrong about Kaepernick. And, you know, they're looking good. So they got everything. You know, they got all the pieces in place. And they're putting their money where their mouth is.
All right. So do you think Jim Harbaugh will be right in the long run by putting Kaepernick in there instead of Alex Smith?
Well, I think definitely in the long run he's going to be right. I was more worried about the short time.
Yeah, long run turnaround this season long run in terms of like the playoffs and things like that. Can they go to Atlanta and beat the Falcons?
I'd have to see it to believe it. I mean, I'd have to see it to believe it. I can't, you know, he's still going to be his third game, you know, game starting coming up. You know, I mean, he played an okay game last week, but you know, it wasn't an awesome game. You know, it was an okay game. So I mean, I gotta see, you know, more of what he can do. I mean, like I said, I'm hoping for him, you know, but I mean, it's a decision I wouldn't have done. You know, but I'm not Jim Harbaugh, so, you know, there's a reason he's a coach, you know. But like I said, there was also a reason that Kaepernick hadn't taken the position before, you know, so it can go either way.
See, also, yeah, I mean, right now, Harbaugh's 1-0 on that decision, but still got ways to go. Like I said, it's December time, so, I mean, I agree with Cali Mike. I wouldn't have made that decision right now. You know, long run, yeah, I mean, of course, that's probably going to be it. Right now is the now, so, I mean, I wouldn't have messed up, you know, the flow. You know, Alex Smith is your guy, so. Also, the game against the Saints, it was pretty close, though. I mean, they almost could have lost that game.
You say mess up the flow. I'm trying to figure out what kind of offensive flow we're talking about where Alex Smith was attacking every single part of the field like Kevin Kaepernick is doing right now. I mean, Kaepernick is making it look like Smith was just scared to throw downfield. I mean, you have to admit, and remember, this is a run balanced offense. The creativity is off the chain, so it gives them options in the passing game to go along with what they can already do running the ball. I mean, it's a smash mouth team. They can finesse it, or they can just continue to smash you with it. But I don't understand how people don't see that Kaepernick clearly provides more upside and more explosiveness to this offense.
Well, I don't know. What I was saying about the flow, you know, since, I mean, I get what you're saying, though, Tech. You know, Alex Smith still was
fine.
But
Mike, the main thing, this is what I told the guy. Harbaugh was a good quarterback in the NFL. He's coached good quarterbacks. He understands the game. I trust Harbaugh to make the right decision with his quarterbacks. You understand what I'm saying? If I'm a defensive coordinator, you don't want to play Kaepernick, you want to play Smith, go ahead, play Alex Smith.
I understand that, Tex, but I'm saying, though, this wasn't a decision that was made because Alex Smith was getting outplayed in practice or he saw something in Kaepernick that said, okay, Kaepernick needs to start. This was decision was made because Alex Smith had a concussion and he missed the game and Kaepernick came in and capitalized on it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's clear that Kaepernick has more physical tools and can throw the ball better than Alex Smith. I mean, that's clear. I'm saying that there's stuff in the locker room. You got to look at it first. There's a reason, just like.
Well, you know, winning cures all, and they have a formula in place to protect Kaepernick and to develop him like he should be developed.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like this team was – this wasn't a losing team. I mean, and like I said, Alex Smith, I think he's the number three or number four rated passer in the league.
Well, they weren't a losing team, but sometimes it's more about where is the upside? How good can we really be? You know what I'm saying? I have to see what my young man can give me. You understand what I'm saying? It's all a calculated risk, but Kaepernick is just upside play. I mean, and this is just my opinion. I'm a guy that looks at upside. I don't look at what I can do and be satisfied. I'm looking for how can we touch the ceiling? I mean, how can we get above the ceiling?
I understand that, but I'm saying if Alex Smith never had that concussion, are we even talking about this? Do half the country even know who Colin Kaepernick is? No.
We might not.
It was never a matter of performance.
Yeah, it wasn't a matter of performance, but now Kaepernick is probably on the verge of performing better than Smith. I'm not sure if Alex Smith goes in New Orleans and beats the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like Mike said before, that was a close game. Smith played a good game. It's not like he dominated that team or anything like that. It was a good game. Good, made a lot of defensive stops. I mean, like I said, I can't say that they won that game because of Colin Kaepernick.
Also, Mike,
since you were out there though, what are the fans and what are the players are saying about the move? I know it might be kind of mixed about it though. Still kind of like, what's going on?
I mean, I haven't really heard anything about what the players are saying. I know players, they want to win first and foremost, but I know that there are certain pretty jaded.
Hello?
Is Cali Mike there?
Yeah, I'm still. Hey, Mike.
The fans out here are loving it. That's all you hear. And all the TV interviews, all the call-in shows, all the fans are loving it. Like I say, back NFL team is always their favorite until he gets on the field, And Colin Kaepernick, like I say, he's not a bad quarterback. He's performing. So, everybody's going to be on his side as long as they're winning. But when that loss, and I like this team. This is one of my teams. I want them to win. If they lose two games, then what? It's a risk.
You might have caught a rip with Alex Smith. Let's say that happens, then Harbaugh say Alex Smith is our guy. How that's going to be, the psyche of the team and how Alex Smith's going to feel. Because right now Alex Smith, he probably upset, I got a concussion and I didn't get benched and I'm not the starting quarterback now because I had the concussion.
Yeah.
Hey, that happens in the league, man. Look what happened to Drew Bledsoe. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, Bledsoe did get hurt, but yeah, he did. And Brady.
Like I said, that team went on to win the Super Bowl. That's a big difference.
Yeah. All right. Had
Bledsoe's injury wasn't one game injury either. Like I'm saying, this was a one game, not even a, you know, this was a one game thing. You know, it's not, you know, like I said, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was out for a prolonged period and you got to see, you know, four or five games of Colin Kaepernick and then, you know, and then Alex Smith. This was a concussion. And they kept him out. And, you know, then he came back and wasn't starting no more.
All right, well, let's move on here. Ndamukong Suh got fined $30,000 for a suspicious kick against Matt Schaub. Do you think he should have been fined for that? Do you think it was intentional? I want to know what your opinion on that is. What you, Cali Mike?
I saw the play of it.
Did you say Cali or Shy-Town? My bad.
Cali, Mike.
Okay.
Like I say, man, if fucking Sue did that on purpose, he's the world's greatest athlete. I mean, who is he, Jackie Chan? Who can flip? What 300-pound man can flip and then kick somebody in midair? Who can? Why he's tackling it? Why he's tangled with an offensive lineman? Who can do that? You know, I think you've seen one. You're seeing one dirty play, Matt Schaub. Folks, that was boosted up into what Albert Haynesworth did to figure that. It wasn't a stomp. That was a kick. What Albert Haynesworth did was a stomp. You know, it got boosted up. You know, and since then, the Ndamukong Suh has been for Trent for NFL since then. And everything he does, you know, from when he tackled, you know, that 30. He only looks at that one incident. You know, when he saw Jay Cutler, which even Cutler was like, that wasn't a dirty play. Now all of a sudden he does a ninja flip kick and kicks somebody right in their private parts. And it wasn't enough to fine him, but it was, I mean, it wasn't enough to suspend him, but you fine him $30,000? It's like, come on, dude. I mean, who, like I said, who can do that? This dude ain't Jackie Chan. Well, if he is, he's far better than what I think. You know, he needs to be in Cirque du Soleil somewhere.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
he flipped over offensive lineman and kicked this man with enough aim to kick him directly in his private parts. Who does hockey? You know, that's amazing.
All right, well, let me. What do you have to think to say about that text?
He had his head turned, so. You know, I'm not sure where he was. I don't know. I don't think he saw. I mean, he didn't see where he was kicking. I don't know if he actually meant to kick Schaub. I mean, like I said, his helmet was turned. You know, I guess Sue is. You know, if Sue was dirty, then what was Butkus or Deacon Jones or anybody else to play back then? But. I do think there is something there mentally with Ndamukong Suh. It's just too many times where he's getting into these situations where people are questioning whether he's dirty or he has an issue with that. I do think there's probably some mental complex there. I'm not sure what it is. I don't mean to sound like an expert. I don't think he's dirty. I guess they claim they. I guess they had to find him to satisfy people. I don't know how you're not going to suspend him, but you're going to fine him. I mean, you know, it's a game check either way. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he meant to do it. But I'd like to see. I mean, I'd like to see Sue not. You know, not getting into these situations. You understand what I'm saying? It just keeps happening over and over again. I mean, that's, you know.
It's because they got the microscope on it. Whenever you put a microscope on somebody and you can replay that play 30 different times on ESPN and on the internet and then it goes viral, you're going to look bad. It's funny because you got half the fans complaining that the league is getting too soft and this and that. But then when you got a guy that comes out and play hard, you got half the fans saying he's a dirty player. So, you know,
yeah.
it's What do people want? You can't have, you know, like Tech said, you can't want a tough, you can't want a soft game and then have Dick Butkus. You know, you can't have things be both ways. Either you're gonna have this be the football that everybody's been playing, or you're gonna completely change this game. You know, but you can't have the best of both worlds. We want you to hit the guys, but we don't want you to hit them that hard, and we only want you to hit them right here and right here. You know, it's like I didn't see hits that have happened that weren't head on hits. But they were hard hits. But you know, as soon as the hit happens, the announcer he hit him right on the head. And then when they slow it down, it was a shoulder. It was a regular tackle. You know, it was just a hard hit. But everything, you know, how can you really even tackle somebody without hitting them with any part of your helmet? Is that even possible? He led with, you know, for folks who play football, anybody who plays football knows that's not completely possible. You know, it's not. And everybody taught textbook tackling. Somebody's gonna get hit with a helmet. That's the way it happens. You know,
it's a violent physical sport. You know, I agree. I mean, with the media, I mean too. Like we all said, the media. You know, the love and hate thing. Like the old saying, the media can make you or break you. It's kind of like, you know, the media, you know, already has betrayed souls being that type of player, and you know the fans. You know, so it's like the media too has some, you know, has involved with it. And since that perception, you know, turned to be a reality of it, it's just they go along with it. They first say, yeah, he's probably not going to get fined. He might be, and then he gets fined. So it's like the perception becomes reality. And he's in that category where anything, like Mike said, in a microscope, you know, it just happens, you know. But, you know, like I said, we've seen a lot, you know, I mean, I don't think that play was that dirty, but we've seen a lot of plays worse than that. And it really, to me, wasn't
a lot
really that
worse.
Bad. It wasn't really that bad. Like that, like the Albert Ainsworth stuff, we all know that was bad. That was dirty.
Yeah, and you know, and with sports, ignorance is bliss. You know, it's just like baseball. When everybody was hitting home runs and Mark McGwire and Celso was hitting all these home runs, everybody was happy. Then when they learned about juicing, you know, oh my goodness, how could this have happened? You know, now you got 300-pound guys that are running 4.5s with attitude problems. And everybody's acting like they don't know what, you know, nothing's going on. Or this, you know, it's like, come on, man. It's like you want a more faster, aggressive, you know, harder hitting game. But then, you know, when it happens, you know, everybody gets surprised or mad. It's like, you know, like, come on.
Right. Well,
What's your take on it, man?
He, like Tech said, he was looking back at the player, so it's kind of hard to test. But I think if I were him, I'd appeal it just because they can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt it was intentional. So by the fact that he's getting fined, that the league felt that it was intentional. So there was some sort of intent to it. So if he felt like there was no intent to it, I would challenge it and get my money back, man, if I were him.
The league needs to release their findings too. You know, let us know, let the public know what you saw that maybe some of us didn't see.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, I mean, the tape was there. I mean, I'm pretty sure they felt like he was looking back at him, and he decided to just kick him in his, you know what. So that's probably the findings that they had.
I was going to say, even the Ed Reed play, which, man, that, I was like, man, Ed Reed going to get suspended for a game for that, then, hey, if he's going to get suspended for that, then half the league's probably should be suspended on that play where he said it was contact with the helmet. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, and, of course, you know, I'm glad he won that appeal and wasn't suspended because, I mean, they was out of line on that one. I saw the replay on that one, and I was thinking, like, how the heck he suspended for that play? There wasn't no helmet-to-helmet contact. I mean, he just, you know, he made a play. Like you said, like Mike said, you know, maybe sometime – it might be a little, you know, but it wasn't strictly helmet to helmet. Like, this man using his helmet as a weapon, which he wasn't on that play. So I'm thinking, like, why did he get suspended? It's like, man, they got to do something, man. They need to show us why Ed Reed, what, and they finally saying that Ed Reed should have been suspended for that game. I'm waiting to hear the league on that.
Well, I mean, he said he was disappointed, and he just took the fine as it is. Let's move topics here real quick. We got about 20 minutes left. Your top five NFL quarterbacks right now. Who do you have right now in your top five? Let me start with you, Tex. In terms of the way they're playing right now, who's in the top five right now who's playing?
In no order, I'd have to say Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and that's a good question. I know Eli is coming off a rough stretch, and Roethlisberger has been injured, but probably I'd say Roethlisberger.
Based on the fact that when Roethlisberger left, the Steelers were not the same team. Is that what you're basing Roethlisberger by?
Not the same. I mean, they've lost. They're losing without him, so there you have it. And he was having a nice season before he got. I mean, he was doing well before he got injured. He was a catalyst.
Where would you put Where would you put RG3 in regards to? Would you put him at a top 10 right now?
Probably.
You talking about playing wise? Or you talking about overall?
Both. I mean, that goes hand in hand. Probably somewhere around 9, 10, or 11. I mean, you got to remember this is 1 year. You understand what I'm saying? This is
no. But what I'm saying is, like, who has a hot hand right now in this league right now? Like, you don't think you put RG3 in the top 6, 7 in terms of who has a hot hand right now?
I mean, I think you have to. I mean, you know, you can only really look at these guys year by year, in my opinion. I mean, you know, especially when you talk about a rookie, he has nobody at work. So you got to judge him by what he does right now. Right now he got 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 104 quarterback rating, almost passing for 70%, you know, with 700 yards rushing. I mean, that's balling right there. You know, what more you want him to do?
Would you put him up for MVP?
I mean, they would have to make the playoffs, and maybe make it past the first round.
I think there's quite a few MVP candidates. I think there's a wide variety of MVP candidates.
He would have to win the Super Bowl for me to say MVP. RG3, but I agree with Tex. You know, it is a variety of people. Definitely, I mean, him and Andrew Luck. It might be called Rookie of the Year. Let's say both of their teams make it to the playoffs. I mean, I think it should be called Rookie of the Year for both Andrew Luck
is just a bit of the MVP to his team as RG3 is to his. This the Colts have one of the worst rosters in the league. You know what I'm saying? They sitting here, they about to probably make the playoffs after winning just 2 games. With a rookie quarterback, a guy throwing the rookies, you understand what I'm saying, besides Reggie Wayne. So, but my point is there are a lot of MVP candidates, Manning, Rodgers, Brees. I mean, there's many guys, Adrian Peterson. Even guys playing defense, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, Alden Smith. I mean, yeah, it's just so many guys out there playing at a high level.
Also, you can say Peyton Manning he'd be my pick comeback player of the year for that, you know, too, along with being the MVP.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get comeback player, no doubt. I don't even worry about that.
You think he get? You think he get comeback player over Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, because he's a quarterback and he's Peyton Manning.
I guess with the ACL thing, that's a remarkable story, but the technology we have now and the surgery and all this stuff now, I mean, that's not really, I mean, we hear these type of stories all the time, but you talking about a man's neck, man, that's a totally different thing, you know. Guy, you know, might maybe play or throw a ball, you know.
Getting time in with different wide receivers to be playing at this kind of level. Yeah, he's comeback player, yeah.
And this time last year, there was talk about him not playing again, period. You know, hanging him up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody knew AP was going to, you know, they knew he was going to come back. Maybe not this good and this quick,
but he knew he was going to come back. It was folks talking about, you know, that was the last week he had taken Manny. And he, remember, he was,
yeah,
it was very serious retirement talk, you know.
Yeah, he's talking about he might be jeopardizing, you know, might have, you know, putting his neck in danger. You take that
hit,
you know.
Yeah, where you got to look at your quality of life after football.
Yeah. I mean, I know your knee. I mean, we all know some of these guys might have a little limp, but when you're talking about your neck, that's something totally different, my friend.
Right, but Cali, Mike, who are your top five quarterbacks?
I got Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and I would throw Matt Ice in there.
You throw Matt Ice in there as the top? Okay. All right. Shot sound
like
who you got?
I mean, I would put Luck and Griffin. I would put them in the 6-6 to 6-10 range, though.
I would too. I mean, based on playing now, how they're playing now, you know. But I guess in my particular, I don't have no particular order of playing, but I would say Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Matt Schaub, Aaron Rodgers, and the fifth guy. Who's been playing? Who's the guy I'm missing? I give it to Matt Ryan. I mean, they record, you know, he's doing what he's doing. You know, I can put him at five. I mean,
you
I wouldn't
Matt
say Schaub Eli, but... No, I mean Matt Ryan. I have Matt Schaub at four.
That's what I'm saying. You got Matt Schaub in your top five?
Yeah. you don't have Schaub in the top five, man. Hey, Houston's got, you know, the best record in the AFC. And, I mean, he's playing pretty good ball. The guy who people always be forgetting about him, though. I be forgetting about him too sometimes. But, I mean, he's been playing well.
He's been playing all right. You know, he's been okay.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I know who I forgot. I have to take that back for number five. I got to put Aaron Rodgers. Matt Ryan has to be at six. I mean, I still got to say Aaron Rodgers. You know them Packers.
Over Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers over Matt Ryan.
I said Matt Schaub.
No, I didn't have no particular order. I was just naming names.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
dang, but Schaub is five. At work.
No,
Here's my top five. Number one, I guess, well, I won't put them in any order. Let me just say Peyton, Eli, Brady, Brees, and Rodgers. Those are my top five right there. And I got RG3. What'd you say?
I said the usual suspects.
The usual suspects?
Yeah. That's about the usual. Except, you know, Eli jumps in and out of there sometimes.
Yeah, but I think RG3, I think in about 2-3 years, would it be safe to say you could think that maybe RG3 could end up being the best quarterback in the league in about 2-3 years?
I mean, as he gets more comfortable with his team and the team collects a little bit more talent, you know, they're only going to get better. You know, they're a young team, so, you know, I could see them get better. I mean, you know, him and Luck, you know, like I said, Mike, you know, might not even take that long. You know, like I said, depends on, you know, like I said, these guys, they're playing at a very high level right now.
We name
the usual suspects because of how teams doing, because of what we know of them. But I mean, like I said, who's to say what your difference might make for Andrew Luck? You know, he's playing like this right now with like what Tech said, with a garbage team. You know, a couple of off season moves, you know, some draft picks maybe, and you know, we might be talking about him as, you know, top three.
Also, too, you got to have me think about this. It's a name we kind of forgot also, and it was all the talk and hype last year. But, too, I mean, he's starting to get it going now playing. You know, he won, you know, some games. It's Cam Newton, though.
Yeah,
we won't do
it to you like that, Mike.
I mean, everybody was saying about Cam Newton. I think there's somebody say that Cam Newton might do more than all this and all that. and then, you know, but, you know, hey, it's the same thing. Let's say one of those, I mean, it's possible that one of those can have the type of season next year. So,
I mean, I like Cam, but he would have to show me all over again next year what he can do. You know, like I said, this year is gonna he kind of regressed this year, and maybe it's not even maybe the team regressed too. But like I said, I'm gonna have to look at them next year. Like the same thing. You know, we've been saying about the Jets. It just didn't seem to me like there was that much off-season movement for some of these teams that you expected, who could, you know, teams like maybe like Carolina, who could have just needed a couple extra players to go from, you know, from pretender to contender. I just don't understand, you know, why there weren't many moves in the offseason. You know, maybe because of NBA, you know, maybe we got used to so many off-season moves this past off-season. You know, everybody would want to see a lot of teams in the NFL, but it just didn't seem like that happened.
I mean, he got some talent around the offense. You still got the two backfield with Williams and Stewart, and
those
you got Greg Olsen.
I mean, John Stewart got talent. Williams is he might be donezo there. I can't see them bringing him back next year. Not at the money he's making. he's going to be on his way out.
Well, are you talking about John Stewart or Williams?
Oh, D'Angelo Williams.
Oh yeah. Everybody was talking
Josh Stewart has the talent, but there's only so many years you can be in the league and expect to actually produce it. You can be forever. And plus, you know, his best years was coming when D'Angelo Williams was having his best years. So, I mean, who's really said? You look at his speed, and, you know, John Williams is a top five back. But, you know, when it comes to producing, a lot of it has yet to be seen. So, I mean, John Stewart, my bad. You know, a lot of it has yet to be seen.
You think Jonathan Stewart's a top five back?
I said if you look at his talent-wise and size and speed ratio, yeah, for sure. I do. He's a big back who can run very fast and have a lot of moves. That's rare.
Against my team, a couple of years ago, that man was a monster.
You know, I mean, I'm saying he has the potential, you know, to do it. I ain't saying he's no top five. I say he has the potential, but he hasn't capitalized off his potential yet. But, you know, yeah, all tools are there. They've been there since, you know, they've been there since college. I mean, he was dominant in Oregon, you know, but when he got to the NFL, you know, he had a couple of injuries. And, you know, and like I said, D'Angelo Williams resurfaced, you know.
You think he should be in the feature back? You think having D'Angelo Williams kind of hinder his process?
He has all the tools to be a feature back. But, you know, he got to capitalize on it. You know, he's in the perfect position right now to take over that spot and run with it, and it hasn't been happening. So.
He has a high ankle sprain, by the way, and he's out for a little while.
Stewart or Williams?
Stewart.
Again?
Oh, yeah. There's breaking news that Rolando McClain wants to leave Oakland. So, just to give that up.
What I understand, he's been cut.
I don't know. They say he wants out. Allegedly, the news is saying he wants out.
That's what he's been saying. He said I quote his words, officially not a Raider anymore.
Yep, that's what it says on the NFL call.
And from what my eyes have been,
oh, you think Rolando McClain is a sorry linebacker? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, no. I didn't say he was a sorry linebacker. I said
He's an average linebacker, Claus. He's not. He's not a. I wouldn't call him a very good linebacker.
All right, I guess. Man, wait till he goes to another team and starts playing good.
The Raiders had Aaron Curry last year. I noticed that the other day. I mean, they let him go too.
Where did the last guy go to school at again?
What'd you say? Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's looking like a bust right now.
Oh, really? Is Julio Jones a bust?
Huh?
Is Julio Jones a bust?
He's been so injured this year, I don't know. AJ Green is really outshined him. I don't know.
He was injured last week in against Tampa Bay when he won that winning touchdown catch.
Mark Ingram's been pretty healthy. How's he been doing?
Yeah, how was Reggie Bush when he was in New Orleans? What did he do?
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, what did Matt Leinart do? What did Matt Leinart do in the league? I'm just curious. What happened there?
Where
is he at now?
Matt Leinart made a lot of money and took pictures with Bronze jacuzzis and turned it out.
No, it's in regards of a football player. What did he do?
I don't know about
Lindell White. What did he do? When they're in the heyday of USC,
Lindell White rushed for more yards than Mark Ingram. I know that much.
Before he got out of shape,
he was a thousand yard rusher.
I know that.
Yeah. I say this about Bronze, though. He's stepping up, though.
Who you talking about?
He's been pretty much producing pretty good. I mean, definitely improved from last year's rookie year to now. So
who are you talking about, Mike?
Some people might say he might be, in the top five, top ten as a receiver.
Who?
Julio Jones.
Purvis. Yeah, they're talking about Julio.
Jones. He's going to eventually be a top five receiver. That's what I've been telling Tex. He's going to be eventually top. He's the next closest thing to Calvin Johnson. He's in terms of size, he's the next thing to Calvin Johnson.
Don't start that.
Hold on. You're trying to tell me he's not Calvin Johnson Jr. Are you serious?
Everybody from Alabama is somebody else junior.
Not distant enough, all right? A.J. Green, now you talk about Calvin Johnson type wide out, you go look at A.J. Green.
No.
A.J. Green is ultra consistent, ultra reliable. The guy is – have you watched A.J. Green this year?
Who else does AJ Green have on his team?
Nobody.
Exactly. And who else is Matt Ryan? He got Roddy White on his team and Tony Gonzalez.
Come on,
what are you talking about, man?
Okay,
the ball is flying around.
What's your point of saying that? That means it's harder for AJ Green because teams can double team him. You know that, right?
Exactly.
At the same time, it's hard for Julio to get his catches because he got much love spread around.
No.
Julio's the number one now. Julio's the number one player on the team. He's the number one receiver on the team.
Yeah, Ryan's a better quarterback than Dalton, though, right now. Dalton, he's kind of struggled, too, man. Ryan's, already is,
Thank you, Mike.
Julio's the number one. Julio has Tony Gonzalez, a Hall of Fame tight end. He has Roddy White, a perennial Pro Bowler, and he's the number one receiver on the team in his second year.
He's not the number one receiver on that team.
Yeah, he is. Julio is the number one receiver on that team now. Yes, he is.
Roddy White is.
Roddy White.
Thank you.
Roddy White's still the number one option at receiver.
Clauso likes to say things and have times where he can brainwash people into believing them, and it doesn't work anymore. It's not going to happen.
Whatever, man. Julio's the number one. He's going to be a top five receiver.
You can't make a wide receiver a number one receiver just because you really want him to be. It can't happen.
Look at the stats. The stats will back it up.
No, it doesn't.
Take a look at AJ Green's stats then. And he gets all
about AJ Green. I'm talking about who's the number one team, who's the number one player on their team right now. It's Julio Jones.
I'm not disputing.
Hold on. First of all, Tex, I never said that he was better than A.J. Green. I just say he's going to be a top-five receiver. That's all I said. A.J. Green is going to be a top-five receiver.
You just said he was the next Calvin Johnson.
He's a junior. Calvin Johnson's junior.
I'm not really comparing everybody to Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson brings a whole other element of dimension to the game
That's A.J. Green. That's Calvin Johnson Jr. That's AJ Green.
I'm talking about in terms of size, in terms of speed, in terms of jumping ability.
AJ Green is 6'4" fast. Yes.
He's faster than Julio Jones.
Y'all are smoking something, man.
Are you kidding me? All right, whatever, man. You know what? Look it up and find out, all right? Who runs the back 40 times? You crazy, man.
But that's why Green would have had a Jones, though, because of the 40. Green did better in the 40 than Jones.
No, he didn't. Julio ran a 4.3.
I thought
Julio Jones run a 4.3, and that means AJ Green run a 4.1 then.
Yeah, right. Okay, whatever, man. Well, anyway, man, we're out of time anyway, so.
It's a good topic, though.
It's a good topic. CMT Firestorm, everybody, you know, just check your facts behind us. You'll see that Cali Mike and them line. And, you know, make sure you come out here.
But Clausell,
make sure you check us.
I guess the
you...
guys didn't get the team I was saying. USC, Clausell was right, though. He did say USC wasn't sold on them. Hey, USC's not going to the championship. That's the team
I was like I said, I have to admit that I was right. You know, I tell you the truth, I mean, I admitted that at the beginning of the season when, you know, when I saw that, they, you know, that their depth wasn't going to allow them to, you know, when they were going to get hurt by depth issues. You know, since then, I mean, it's just been one thing after the other. Their defense, you know, their defense got exposed. Their linebackers didn't. Their linebackers, I thought their linebackers would have progressed like I thought they would have. They would have been a much better team. They didn't progress like I thought, you know, and from there, you know, like I said, they could score with any team in the country. They proved that. But, you know, if you don't got a defense and, you know, you can't stop nobody, you know, it's hard to play. But, you know, like I said, they're SC. They got the number one recruiting class in the country right now. They got the number one quarterback in the country right now. And, you know, they'll be back next year. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and Alabama winning another championship. We'll see about that. And Tex did say all 11 of those – Tex did say all 11 players on USC's defense will be in the NFL. I want to see if that happens. But anyway.
He said offense.
No, defense. He said all 11 players on their defense will be in the NFL.
Offense,
whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Well, we'll see if that happens.
I just made that up, but okay.
No, I didn't make that up. We can look at. We'll go back on the tape, audience.
I'll say this.
Anyway.
I'll say this. More players from SC is going to get drafted in Alabama.
Well, we're on an off year. Come on. We'll find out, man. Anyway.
Off year, but y'all was just now in Miami.
Exactly.
All right, man.
Not Miami Tech, Miami Junior. Remember, everybody Junior. You know, that's the funny thing too. All his Alabama players were all USC players, but Junior. He's Reggie Bush Junior. He's Marquise Lee Junior. But yet he
is
USC. That's amazing.
Yep, he is. All right, about to go, man. CMT Firestorm. Check us out next week, man. Peace.
Peace, y'all.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows.